today I'm joined by frequent contributor Patrick Whitaker. How's it going today, Patrick?
It's going good. And not to go off track here, but well, I just heard like a big burst of static, but now it's clear again.
Yeah, it showed up on my screen here, but I can edit that out.
Yeah. But yeah, good to go, man.
All right. Today's topic is we're going to do a broad comb over of history of Motorhead. So when I say broad, I mean we're not getting into the nitty-gritty of each album or song, but we're just going to cover all 40 years. And this is also the week of the 40th anniversary of Ace of Spades. So I figured it'd be a good topic to commemorate that slab of sonic noise that Motorhead put out back in 1980. Yeah.
Was it? I know also sometime, I have to look it up, that this day in history, they also released their Louie Louie single at some point.
Okay, well, we'll get into it because we are using the same Wikipedia Motorhead albums. It's actually pretty damn nice. Like, the layout is really easy and informative, so we should be able to cover a lot of ground here in an hour and a half. Well, let's get started here. I'll read some introduction facts, and then we'll just go through the albums and lineups. So Motorhead started in 1975 after Lemmy was fired from Hawkwind due to a drug possession charge in Canada. He took the name from the last song he wrote with Hawkwind, which was Motorhead. He started Motorhead in 1975, and it ended in 2015, so it was a band for 40 years. They have 22 studio albums. I say that with an asterisk. 10 live albums, 12 compilation albums, which are basically greatest hits, and 5 EPs and 2 box sets. They have 1 Grammy win and 3 nominations. They were nominated for the song 1916, a cover of Enter Sandman from the ECW wrestling soundtrack. They won in 2005 for a cover of Whiplash. And 2015, they were nominated for the song Heartbreaker, which I don't think was a Zeppelin cover, but I might be wrong. I'm not really familiar with the last album they put out too much. Not the covers album, but the last actual studio original release album.
Yeah.
Let's see. So the first album was re-released as an album called On Parole. So that's where the asterisk comes in for 22 studio albums. The first album was called Motorhead, and the record company shelved it because they didn't like it. They thought it sucked. Also, they were voted in a local magazine as the best worst band that year. That's quite the accolade there.
It is. It's like a badge of honor.
Yeah, really. The first lineup for Motorhead was Lemmy, Lucas Fox, and Larry Walls. Lemmy was bass player, singer, obviously. Lucas Fox was drummer, and Larry Walls was guitar player. They replaced Lucas Fox with Filthy Animal Taylor. I should call him, due to Lucas Fox's shoddy drumming. In 1976, Lemmy decided he wanted 2 guitar players and brought in Taylor's friend Fast Eddie Clark, also known for his work in Fastway.
Yes.
And when they brought in another guitar player, Larry Walls quit, so they were still a 3-piece for the classic lineup. So classic lineup albums include Motorhead, Overkill, Bomber, On Parole, which is Motorhead re-released, Ace of Spades, and Iron Fist. So, any of these albums have any special places in your heart for any of the songs or whole albums?
Actually, there's several that do, man, for a variety of reasons. The debut, of course, the self-titled album, which was 77. Man, I especially liked the song, you know, Iron Horse, Born to Lose, and it's taken on a whole new meaning to me, because pretty much to this day, Wino just about always performs that song in, you know, various incarnations of his bands and stuff. So that's why the Motorhead version is taking on such a, like, you know, a sentimental value to me.
Well, the first, I won't say the first album, because to be honest, the first album is really not that great. You can listen to it on Spotify, it's on there, but the On Parole one's produced a little bit better, remastered a little bit better. But so I consider Overkill the actual first album for me. And the song Overkill, I always enjoy because they really run that riff into the ground. I guess it's kind of like a nod to the name. And yeah, the riff's awesome, so I enjoy it. I listen to it all the way through every time. It also has No Class, which is a good one. Damage Case, which obviously Metallica covered, as well as Overkill. The song Metropolis, which he actually played the last tour.
Man,
I saw him on, which was the last tour he did. Yeah, they still play that. So, how many times did you get to see Overkill over the years?
I've seen Overkill 3 times.
I mean, not Overkill, sorry. Motorhead. Sorry about that.
Man, I don't even want to admit it. I don't even want to say. 0.
Dude, you never saw him? Oh, come on.
Nope.
Really?
Never got to. Man, I had
a... Oh, that's a shame.
I was supposed to... Yeah, I know. I was supposed to see Motorhead the year that he and Ozzy, you know, Motorhead and Ozzy toured together when they co-wrote the songs. Man, for something happened and it all fell through, man. And that, you know, for whatever reason, I never saw them. I want to say real quick, Metropolis, of course, you got onto it there for a minute, is perhaps my all-time favorite Motorhead song, or at least one of them, like in the top 5.
Yeah, it's good.
It's way different, man. It's a real different tune.
Yeah,
exactly. It's a real different song, man.
Yeah, they were still playing it to the end, man.
Very cool.
I saw it live.
Stay Clean is another. Sorry, man.
Yeah, Stay Clean's good. Yep. Oh, no, it's okay. On the Bomber album, we have my favorites are Dead Man Tell No Tales, which is a good one. I like Stone Dead Forever, which Metallica also covered. And the song Bomber, of course.
Yeah.
Album Ace of Spades. Well, Ace of Spades, you know, we could probably do a whole episode on just that album alone, but obviously the title track, legendary. Love Me Like a Reptile, classic. We Are the Road Crew, classic.
Yeah.
Chase Is Better Than the Catch, classic. And there's some filler ones in there that aren't, you know, the best, but man, those ones I mentioned are pretty much played somewhere every day on radio somewhere. Safe to say. Especially Ace of Spades.
True. And The Chase Is Better Than the Catch is another one of my favorites. And man, of course, there's the sort of, not really controversial, but man, another one I liked off that album is Jailbait, man. Jailbait was just always a killer track.
Yep. Then the last one with the classic lineup is Iron Fist. So we have the song Iron Fist. Fucking rocker. Go to Hell. I like that one a lot. Don't Need the Religion. A good one. Bang to Rights. Another good closing track. But yeah, Iron Fist is probably, I would say, out of the classic ones, besides Motorhead and On Parole, I would say Iron Fist is probably the weakest of the lineup. But there's still some good ones on there.
Yeah.
But, you know, sacrilegious to say, I actually think I like the 80s lineup, or the 80s songs better than I do the classic lineup.
I think I agree with you on that. Yeah, I think I agree with you on that,
yeah,
actually.
They're more experimental. They kind of like a little bit more room to breathe than the first one was just down and dirty, just play fast, you know. And Filthy Phil was actually on a lot of those 80s albums, too. Like, Mickey D didn't come in until pretty much 92. So, yeah, Filthy Phil, and I think they had a... we'll just get into it later. I got some I got some marks for some interesting stuff.
You know, another reason that they talk about Iron Fist was sort of lackluster. I'm not sure how many he produced or if it was only one, but you know, Fast Eddie produced Iron Fist.
All right, disclaimer for the audience. I had to change mics real quick, so that's why probably why I sound a little bit a lot different. So anyway, carrying on, or continuing on to the 80s and early 90s lineup here. So this lineup included the albums Another Perfect Day, Orgasmatron, Rock and Roll, 1916, March or Die, Bastards, and Sacrifice. So an interesting fact about Another Perfect Day is Fast Eddie Clark left because of this album with a duet with because Lemmy did a duet of These Boots Are Made for Walking with Wendy O. Williams. So that brought in
the Thin Lizzy guitarist, Brian Robertson.
Yeah, he was in it, but he also brought in Phil Campbell. Yes, Phil Campbell. So I remember later. Okay.
I was going to say, of course, remember Motorhead did the crossover thing with Girl School too, with Don't Touch Me There, or where they like each recorded each other's songs. It was like an EP or something.
Oh, not, yeah, I think it was called like I think they called like Motor Girl or some shit. Was like,
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
I think it was an EP.
And there was the Saint Valentine's Day Massacre.
To be honest with you, I really don't know many. I don't know any songs off this record. I must not ever listen to it because none of these really sound familiar.
You know, back at the Funny Farm, Shine.
I know that's bad to say, but yeah, I'm not really. None of them really ring the bell.
Jason, Dancing on Your Grave's like another one of my favorites from them. It's on here.
I would probably know that if I heard it. I'm sure. I'm sure they play it. I just can't.
One
remember
Track Mind.
Right offhand.
But a lot of people say they think this is one of Motorhead's very best albums. And of course, you know, Lemmy could not stand Brian the way he dressed. And he came on stage wearing like tennis clothes and loafers and shit. And it absolutely pissed Lemmy off.
Yes, it says right here. Here's a quote from Lemmy. All that shit about being dressed differently, all the wearing of stupid shorts, it was just to get at me or make sure everyone knew that he wasn't in Motorhead. Just a featured guest artist doing us a favor from the great heights as a Thin Lizzy guitar player. So, yeah, apparently he wasn't really too fond of him.
Yeah, even though, like I said, the album's killer, man.
He also said, following the album and tour, that Robinson and Phil Taylor left, formed a band Operator. He said, I've enjoyed all the lineups, but not that one. And that was the lowest point in our career. So maybe that's why I never listened to that album, because I don't think he felt very strongly about it, so why should I? But I need to go back and listen to that one, actually, because I really don't know it.
Yeah, you definitely do. There's a lot of good stuff on it. And like I said, a lot of fans say they think that's one of Motorhead's best albums.
Well, you'll have to go back and listen again. But the next album, Orgasmatron, now, that's a different story. I'm very fond of that album. Very familiar with it.
Me too.
So, Death Forever, obviously a classic. Orgasmatron, a classic.
Yes.
And very different than a lot of the other stuff, I would say. It's not really about getting off either, as most people just see the most people just see the name, figuring it's about getting off, but it's really nothing to do with that. So,
see if you name one of my favorites from it.
You probably like Dr. Rock.
That I do like it, but sort of, I guess, because of the connection to the Boyster Cult having the same type, you know, song titled that. But man, Claw is one of my favorite tracks, man.
Claw.
Yeah. Claw.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Mm.
Yeah, I actually like this whole album front to back. I mean, the two standouts, obviously, for me are Death Forever and Orgasmatron.
And the reason I chuckled is me and a high school buddy, man, this album and the, you know, one that follows, Rock and Roll, were major releases for us. We were, you know, we were Motorhead fans, but for some reason these two albums just absolutely became, you know, like daily listens for us.
Well, all Motorhead albums are pretty short, so it's pretty easy to get it in, fit it in your day, I will say.
True.
So, another quote from Lemmy about this one is he didn't like the production on Orgasmatron, which I think is pretty good. What else does he have on here? He said that they built a huge Orgasmatron stage prop, but they couldn't get it into most of the venues. So, who the hell knows what that was all about?
Wow, man. Couldn't get it in there. It must have been something massive, man.
Yeah, I should try to find a picture of that and see if I can see what that ever looked like.
For some reason, I can't think of who Pete Gill. I know Pete Gill's the drummer on this, but I didn't remember that dude. It's like I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, he was in Saxon. And also, I forgot, this is the beginning of the four-piece era. The guy Wurzel, I think he was in... Wurzel played on 6 studio albums and 2 live albums. Died at the age of 61. Huh. Back in 2011. So yeah, this album was the beginning of the four-piece era. So after Orgasmatron... was the album Rock and Roll.
Yep. Another big one for me. Like
some good ones on here. Eat the Rich, obviously about sexualizing breakfast food. One of my favorites. The song Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Rock and Roll.
Yeah. Traitor. That's it. Traitor's a pretty rocking one. Dogs. Boogeyman. I like that one a lot too.
Dogs.
So, yeah, I think the standout on this one is Eat the Rich, though.
Definitely, because it seemed like they had a video to that, man. I like Stone Deaf in the USA as well, man. You got to make one mention here. Yeah, you know Michael Palin from Monty Python Circus is on here on this album. Spoken word on a blessing or whatever, the end of side one. I think it is just a spoken word piece.
Yeah, speech on blessing, yeah. Yep. Yeah, but like I said, Eat the Rich is probably my favorite one on here. I just like the line, you want to see my bacon torpedo. That shit cracks me up every time I hear it.
Man.
Let me talking about a waitress and her daughter back home. It's great. Doesn't get no better than that.
Oh, man. All
right, so 1916 was the next album, and it was the last one with Filthy Phil as a regular member playing on the drum on the album in its entirety, although he did come back for guest spots in some future albums. I'm So Sad Baby I Don't Care was on this one. Let's see, 1916, which they were nominated for a Grammy.
Ramones,
yep. Make My Day, Nightmare, and The Dreamtime. That's a pretty weird song.
Yeah. Some of them are on here, like Going to Brazil.
No Voices in the Sky.
Yeah,
also.
There's some odd stuff on here, man. Like Going to Brazil, you know, a few of those. Just, I don't know, a little different from Motorhead.
Yeah. Yeah, No Voices in the Sky is also on this one, too. So
yeah,
that's played pretty regularly on Ozzy's Boneyard channel. As a matter of fact, I think I hear it every day.
Now, is that one that Ozzy co-wrote?
I mean, there could be worse played.
Did Ozzy co-write that?
No, we'll get to that here. No, we'll get to that here in a few minutes. Next one was March or Die. So this one had guest appearances by Ozzy, Slash, and Tommy Aldridge actually played drums on this one after Filthy Phil was fired.
Wow.
It's the only album he played drums on.
No, I don't think I knew that.
So this one had, oh, really?
Yeah, I don't think I did, man.
Okay. Interesting. I'll teach you something new.
Yeah.
So this one had a cover of Cat Scratch Fever on it. It also had Jack the Ripper, I Ain't No Nice Guy featuring Ozzy and Slash. Hellraiser, which he wrote. Probably more people probably know it as Ozzy's song than Lemmy's, but he wrote the song.
Yeah.
You Better Run also had Slash on it, and March or Die was the last song. So this was still the four-piece minus Filthy Phil. But Filthy Phil did play drums on I Ain't No Nice Guy. And Mickey D played drums on Hellraiser. So this is Mickey D's first. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, of course, Hellraiser tied into the movie. One of, like, Hellraiser 3 or one of them, the real stupid one that they did that was so goofy.
The horror movies do get a little silly after one or two, don't they?
Yeah.
Let's see. Let me see here. I don't see any notes on it, so it's hard to say.
Like I said, I have to look, but it's, I know.
But anyway, yeah, so.
One of them damn movies.
So yeah, Tommy Aldridge played all the drums except for Hellraiser and I Ain't No Nice Guy. Mickey D actually played drums on Hellraiser, so that was his first time with the band playing drums. Filthy Phil played I Ain't No Nice Guy. Peter Solle played keyboard, whoever that is. Slash guitar solo on I Ain't No Nice Guy and additional guitar on You Better Run. Ozzy did guest vocals on I Ain't No Nice Guy. And Lemmy and that Peter Solle guy did cello arrangements. So a lot of different flavors on this Motorhead album.
True. And now check this out. Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth, the soundtrack, Motorhead, Hellraiser, 10-inch, a bunch of bands I've never heard of, 10-inch Men, and then like Triumph, KMFDM, 10 Machine, House of Lords. They also had another Motorhead song, Hell on Earth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And we both missed that on our soundtrack episode.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the very stupid Hellraiser movie.
Dude, to be honest, I don't even know I saw it, so I can't really say much about it.
Man, you need to. They got that goofy, not Pinhead, but his little minions got like technical things like cameras embedded in them and stuff. Like they're half machine and half, like one of them's got like half of a fax machine and one of them's got like half of an ink printer.
Yeah, pretty weird.
Yeah, stupid. Stupid, like I said, stupid.
Yep. Okay. So the next album is probably the weirdest one, I think. Has the weirdest song that Lemmy ever did on it. This is the Bastards album. The first one with Mickey D in the band as a permanent member. So this is the album that had Don't Let Daddy Kiss Me on it, which... it's hard to describe. It's pretty unsettling. I read that Lemmy actually wanted Lita Ford or Joan Jett to sing it originally, and they both denied it or turned it down. So Lemmy just did the vocals, and it's coming from perspective as a little girl, which... Yeah, it's just one of those songs. It's like, it's not really remembered for being good. It's more remembered for being pretty out there.
Yeah, and stupid.
And to be honest, it probably wouldn't fly in today's standards.
No doubt. Yeah. And stupid.
Yep. But there's some other good songs on here, though. I mean, it's got On Your Feet or On Your Knees. The song Death or Glory. I Am the Sword. It's pretty pretty good song. I'm Your Man, I like that one a lot. And Devils is the closer, it's pretty good.
Well, you know, this is an album I'm not very familiar with. I've heard a few of the songs, but overall, I'm not very familiar with this one.
Yeah, I think the Don't Let Daddy Kiss Me song kind of turned a lot of people off. This one's kind of not, just kind of not mentioned for some reason, you know.
I can see why.
Yeah, if anybody's never heard that song, just listen to it once. It's very, very strange. Very, very strange indeed.
Oh, man. I got to after the show. I got to go listen to that, I guess.
You've heard it before, haven't you?
Jason, I don't recall if I have or not. I remember the title and there being some drama connected to it or whatever, but I don't know if I have or not.
Well, yeah, it's about like a father like sexually molesting his daughter. Yeah. But Lemmy takes the role of the daughter because he couldn't get a female singer to do it. So it's it's just a weird song. You know?
Yeah, it's just weird even talking about it.
It's just a weird,
weird even talking about it. That'd have been perfect for Wendy O. Williams, man.
She was probably dead by that point, don't you think?
Yeah, she was, I believe so.
Okay, the last album in this 80s, early 90s lineup was the Sacrifice album. This one had some saxophone in the album and piano on Don't Waste Your Time. You know, I don't really know if I know this one too good either.
I really don't, but I do know that this was like sort of a popular album for them, I believe.
Yeah, it was the last one as a four-piece. Sacrifice, Sex and Death, Over Your Shoulder, War for War, Order, Fade to Black. Dogface Boy sounds familiar. I think I know that one. All Gone to Hell, Make 'em Blind. I do know that one. Don't Waste Your Time, in another Time, and Out of the Sun. So Lemmy made the crucial mistake of ending the song with the same word two times in a row. You never do that on albums. It's an unwritten rule.
You know what?
It's my rule.
Yeah, really. You know what the... really stands out about this one, though, and I'm like you, I don't remember a lot of it, but his producer, Howard Benson, who is a very well-accredited producer who has produced everything from like TSOL to Bang Tango, Pretty Boy Floyd, Sanctuary, Little Caesar, Kilgore Smudge, who's later became Kilgore, Body Count, goodness, Less Than Jake, Sepultura. I mean, you know, he was a well-known, you know, a hit producer.
Yeah, I can look it up right now, actually. Let's see what he did.
Man, he was like, I know he was a producer on a lot of new metal, like POD and Systematic, Depsois, Edema, Crazy Town, Skindred, stuff like that.
Yeah. He is known for making tones for the Kemper. He has his own pack for the Kemper guitar modeling amp. So, good for him.
Well, ain't that special?
It is. Micah was trying to make some, but he said it's too complicated and gave up.
It's just easier to give up.
Yeah, sometimes it is. All right, so that's the end of the four-piece era of Motorhead here. Let's move on. So, the final lineup had the albums... Overnight Sensation, Snakebite Love, We Are Motorhead, Hammered, Inferno, Kiss of Death, Motorizer, and The World Is Yours as their final album in the band. So I always thought Overnight Sensation was a good name because they've been around for like 30 years at that point. So it was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know.
This is the era I'm least familiar with, to be honest with you. There's several of these albums I've never even heard.
Yeah, man. It's okay. I can't say I'm well versed in all of them either, but I do know this one. Civil War is not a cover of the GNR album, but that's the title track or the lead off track. The song Overnight Sensation. Love Can't Buy You Money. That's a pretty good one. Murder Show, which I think was about Murder One, his guitar rig.
Ah.
And Shake the World. Yeah, his guitar rig, or his bass rig, was a guitar rig called Murder One. That was the name of his setup.
That sounds familiar.
Yep.
On Metallica's new album.
Yeah, on Metallica's new album, they actually did a song about that as a tribute. They called the song Murder One for tribute to Lemmy. Although the song's really not that good, I'll have to say.
You've seen the animated video, I know.
Yeah, I did.
Like, they've got a video. Yeah. Where Lemmy's depicted in the video.
Yep. Yeah, really nothing. No classics on here. Just, you know, just songs that Die Hard would know. But the next one, Snakebite Love, has a little bit more to offer as far as the tracks. So, Love for Sale, Dogs of War, Take the Blame, Dead and Gone, Don't Lie to Me, and Better Off Dead. Those are my favorites on there. Any of these ring a bell for you?
Oh, man. I remember a couple friends of mine being, you know, really into this album, and I know that I've heard it through them, but it's like I said, it's nothing that I was really listening to myself. And seemed like there was one song that maybe it's Dogs of War. There was something on here that I know that I did hear and liked and everything, but anyways, yeah, like I said, I'm not very familiar, you know, with the inner workings of this one.
Fun fact for anyone listening, this is the first Motorhead album I ever bought. I was at a store, and it just, like, I heard this band Motorhead, and I just bought the album because I heard of them. So that was my introduction to Motorhead. Yeah, as far as like buying her albums.
How old were you, you reckon, back then at that time?
18.
Huh.
I bought it before I graduated high school. I went to pick up. Let me think here. There was an album I went to go buy after school one day. I can't remember what that album is, but I bought this one with it and another one, too. I bought three that day. I got paid, so, you know, I had to get rid of that money in my pocket, obviously. And it's back when CDs were, like, you know, $17 still. Yeah. See, I spent a fortune that day, but you know what? I don't regret it for one second.
Hell no. I hear you there, ZZ Top.
Yeah, I wish I remember what album I was actually going to buy. I don't remember what it is now.
I know, I'm curious, too. Mm.
Oh, well. Yeah, I am, too. I'll have to go down and look at my CDs after I get done here and see if anything will ring a bell. Let you know. I've always wanted to say it was the first Black Label Society album. But I don't think I think that came later.
Huh.
It was the first Black Label Society album. I bought that, this Motorhead album, and Undisputed Attitude by Slayer.
Wow. That makes sense because 98, you know, Black Label's first one came out in 98 as well.
Was it Undisputed Attitude or was it, what's the one with the skeleton on the, like the Wheel of Pain cover? It had Ditto Head on it.
Oh. Not Diablos and Musica, I know, is it? No.
No. It wasn't that one.
Oh, goodness. What Undisputed, that one's the punk cover, isn't it? Or what am I thinking here?
No. Here we're taking a detour here and going to Slayer's Wiki. Hold on. I got to know now.
I know, I'm already almost out there.
Follow me. We'll go down this rabbit hole together.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you playing along at home, we're on a Slayer Wiki now. Yeah, Undisputed Attitude. Okay. Yeah, I bought it. I was a little late to that party because it came out in 96, but I bought it anyway. Yeah, Diablos and Musica was actually the one that came out in 98.
Yeah. Now, Undisputed Attitude, that's the punk covers, right?
Man, maybe I'm wrong on that one. Hold on a minute.
Yeah, Undisputed Attitude is the one where they do like DRI and TSOL and all the Minor Threat and all the punk covers, Stooges.
Okay, never mind. Undisputed Attitude is not the one I bought. It is Divine Intervention. I bought Divine Intervention, not Undisputed. Okay, so I was a little off on that one.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, first album with Paul Bosfall on it. So,
hell okay, yeah.
This isn't a Slayer podcast, so let's get off that. See, where were we here? Snakebite love. Okay.
Yes, dear.
Okay. Snakebite Love was the final co-produced album by Howard Benson, also.
So he did a few albums for him then.
Yep. Okay, next album is We Are Motorhead. Probably the biggest song on this one was God Save the Queen cover, Sex Pistols. Stage Fright. Stage Fright is probably a well-known song. One of those ones that you know it if you heard it. See Me Burning was a good one. We Are Motorhead. I don't even think I would have to listen to that one again.
That's the one song I do remember is the title track from it.
We Are Motorhead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So fun fact for you, Patrick. This one was produced by Bob Kulick, brother of Kiss guitarist Bruce.
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow. Man, I did not know that, dude. I didn't know Bob Kulick did production. That's wild.
Yeah, I think he was more known for production than he was for actually playing, for the most part.
Yeah. Well, because he ghost played. You know, he played all kinds of Kiss stuff and wasn't ever credited.
Well, yeah, I mean, that sounds about right. I mean, look at, what is it, Bark at the Moon, where Jakey Lee obviously didn't write that guitar riff and didn't get credit for it either, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. I was going to say, one thing that Bob definitely was a part of was the one-off Blackthorn album with Graham Bonnet, and which is actually pretty good, man, and has just resurfaced in recent years. Of course, oh, really? Bob died, you know, here earlier this year.
Yeah. Okay, so next one is Hammered. I will say this one really doesn't ring a bell. Let's see what's on it here.
Me track neither.
Listing. Walk a Crooked Mile, Down the Line, Brave New World, Voices from the War, Mine, All Mine. Oh, Shut Your Mouth. I know that one. I know that one pretty well. Kill the World. That's another one I know. Dr. Love. I don't think that's his cover. I can't say.
No, it's not. Okay. It's not.
No Remorse. I don't think it's Metallica cover. Red Raw. Serial Killer. And this is the time that they put the game, the Triple H theme, out as a bonus track on a reissue.
Jason, I don't think I know a single song off this album.
You would probably know Shut Your Mouth if you heard it. I'm almost confident.
I don't recognize them by title, to put it that way.
Let's see. Where were we? Inferno would be the next one. Track listing. Terminal Show, Killers. In the Name of Tragedy, Suicide, Life's a Bitch, Down on Me, In the Black, Fight, In the Year of the Wolf, Keys to the Kingdom, Smiling Like a Killer, and Whorehouse Blues. So, I know Whorehouse Blues because I actually saw them for the first time in Cherokee at a bike rally back in 2009 or 10. And Matt Sorum was filling in on drums on that tour. And they played this song.
Huh.
Because I remember Lemmy broke out a harmonica and sat on a stool and sang it with Phil Campbell playing guitar. And I always remember the song. I got kicked out of the song title. Because I actually didn't know the song when I played it. I went back and listened to it later on. So that one always sticks with me just because of seeing them on that tour. And also, Steve Vai was a lead guitar on Terminal Show, the song Terminal Show, and Down on Me.
Huh. Yeah, that's another one I'm not familiar with. Hey, you're the Motorhead fan here, buddy.
I would say I'm more of a Lemmy fan than a Motorhead fan, although most of it is Lemmy. But I mean, one goes with, they go hand in hand, so. So the next album would be Kiss of Death, released in 2006. I'm not seeing really any songs I might know on this one either. Sucker, One Night Stand, Devil I Know, Trigger, Under the Gun, God Was Never on Your Side. That one I do know. Living in the Past, Christine.
That's the one I know too.
Sword of Glory. I'm going to go on a limb and say I know Sword of Glory pretty good. But I might be thinking of something else. Beat My Baby, Kingdom of the Worm, and Going Down. All written by Lemmy Campbell.
Oh my God.
What?
Look who's on here. Look at the guests on here. Guitar solo on God Was Never on Your Side. And of course, bass guitar on Under the Gun.
CC the Bell. Mike Inez,
and then Mike
from
Inez
Alice in Chains,
from
Alice. Interesting enough.
Yeah. See, what the hell is CC DeVille doing
you
on
know,
this damn album?
Who the fuck knows? I'm more kind of interested in why Mike Inez is contributing more bass to the album, but oh well. I'll have to check that out. I'll have to listen to this one again because I'm interested to see what CC contributed. Just kidding. No, I should check it out. I need to just pick one Motorhead album a day and just listen while I'm at work, just to refamiliarize myself. Because I've probably heard all of these, but I just don't remember a lot of them, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, that brings us to Motorizer. So far, not ringing a bell here. Run Around Man, Teach You How to Sing the Blues.
Now, this is one.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, this is one, man, that seems like there was something off here that got some, like a lot of airplay or something, maybe, man. I'm thinking.
Let me look here. Oh, well. I don't think it was Heroes. I think there was another cover of Heroes, a David Bowie song, on the last album they did, that covers album. I don't think this was it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same one. But I might be wrong. Anyway, Teach You How to Sing the Blues, When the Eagle Screams, Rock Out, One Short Life, Buried Alive. That actually might be the song you're thinking of. English Rose,
maybe.
Back on the Chain, Heroes, Time is Right, The Thousand Names of God. No surprise guests on this one. Nope.
CC DeVille was the final straw, by God. He broke the camel's back on that last album. No more damn guests.
So we've discovered that you're not a Poison fan, I see.
No, I'm not at all.
That's okay, I'm not either.
I'm traumatized by them. I'll tell you sometime. I'll tell you the story sometime. Man.
Okay. Next one is The World Is Yours. This release was dedicated to Ronnie James Dio, who died from cancer 7 months prior to the release.
Yeah.
Born to Lose. I know this one. I Know How to Die. Get Back in Line. Devil's in My Head. Rock and Roll Music. Waiting for the Snake. Brotherhood of Man. Outlaw, I Know What You Need, and Bye Bye Bitch, Bye Bye. Very good song, I must say. No guests of any note here. Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think this was probably the biggest final lineup album they released. I'm pretty sure about that.
True. I got a question for you then. Do you think Dio and Lemmy could occupy the same space, like be in the same room together, since they're both supposed to be God?
Yeah, because there's all different kinds of gods. There's real gods, there's fake gods, there's
Norse gods, there's Greek gods, there's American gods, Middle Eastern gods. There's all kinds of gods. So yeah, I mean, they'll be fine.
Okay, the metal god.
Metal god. Metal. He's still alive. So yeah. Okay, next song or next album would be Aftershock. It came out in 2013. Really no songs that I'm familiar with, but I have this album because at Best Buy they had a bonus DVD, and I bought that motherfucker for the bonus DVD. So I have this album downstairs. Heartbreaker, Coup de Grace, Lost Woman Blues, End of Time, Do You Believe, Death Machine, Dust and Glass, Going to Mexico, Silent When You Speak to Me, Crying Shame, Queen of the Damned, Knife, Keep Your Powder Dry, and Paralyzed. Sad to say, I have this album and none of these songs sound familiar to me. So I should probably go back and dust this one off too.
None of them are familiar to me, man. Coup de Grace's got a little bit of familiarity to it, but that's about it.
So I used to really be really big into getting CDs that came with DVDs. Like, it used to be like my favorite thing. I have a ton of them downstairs, man. I have quite a few AC/DC ones. I have some Monomarth ones. I have this motor. I think there was another Motorhead reissue that had a DVD also. I have Opeth has about three or four that I have. There's all kinds. Obviously, Saint Anger was famous for having the whole DVD that sounded better than the album included with it, which is kind of a weird inclusion. But
that bastard Bob Rock.
Yeah, Bob Rock. Well, no, Bob Rock didn't play bass on the DVD. He just played bass on the album. So, yeah.
They should have thrown his body in a bass case and threw it in a river somewhere.
Well, he's still out there making, I think he's working with Nickelback now or something. Oh, no, that's Mutt Lange. Sorry, Mutt Lange works on Nickelback. Excuse me.
Oh, that's Mr. Shania Twain.
I think ex-Shania Twain.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Sound like he hit it. Sound like his motto is hit it and forget it on that one. So you can't be a country singer and be from Canada. I mean, come on, let's be real.
I know.
You know,
that's absurd, man.
It really is.
It is.
Okay. Final album by Motorhead, released in 2015. This was the one that had the Sympathy for the Devil cover on it, which was by far the biggest song on that album. Victory or Die, Thunder and Lightning, Firestorm Hotel, Shoot Out All of Your Lights, The Devil, Electricity, Evil Eye, Teach Them How to Bleed, Till the End, Tell Me Who to Kill, Choking on Your Screams, When the Sky Comes Looking for You, and Sympathy for the Devil. Pretty dark album on this one, just from those song titles. Yeah. I should probably go back and familiarize myself with this one too. This had Brian May guitar solo on The Devil.
It wasn't. I know. Probably wasn't long after this album. I guess, you know.
So this is a tour that me and Jackie went to when Anthrax and Crobot opened up for him. I remember Lemmy, man, he was rough, dude. Like, it was, nobody left just because they had respect for him, just powering through. All they did was play the hits. There was no deep cuts or anything like that. Unless you count Metropolis as a deep cut. But I remember Mickey D did like two drum solos during the show. I guess he gave Lemmy a break when he needed it. The vocals were pretty weak. But I mean, he was just powering through, man. So I still got that sticky stub, and I still think back, pretty fun night, because Anthrax fucking crushed it, I will say.
Oh, yeah. So. I like Crobot, you know. So, but, yeah, you're right, man. Lemmy, Lemmy was sick, you know, at this point. That's like the Clean Your Clock DVD, which was filmed, I think, from a lot of this tour, man. He looks bad in it, man.
Yeah, I remember when he played, like, a Vakken set, and I think I remember reading the headline that he stopped after, like, two or three songs. That was pretty much, you knew, yeah, kind of the writing was on the wall if he was stopping shows early, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the Motorhead discography for official releases, not counting live releases. But I will say, going back to the classic lineup portion, that Live at Hammersmith should have been included in the album lineup, because that live album is fucking legendary. I have it on vinyl, and I listen to it all the time over the studio albums. So
yeah, well, a couple of those live albums, like No Sleep at All, No Sleep, you know, the Hammersmith, and No Sleep at All, then Everything Louder Than Everything Else. There's some great live albums in there.
Yeah, some pretty good ones, but I mean, it kind of gets repetitive talking about live albums, the same songs on them.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't include them on this one.
Yeah, you know, I'm
but,
not.
But did you ever see the Lemmy documentary?
Oh, yeah, I own it. Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Is it 49% motherfucker, 51% son of a bitch, or is it the other way around?
I'd have to get it up.
I can't remember. That song title is the best. DVD title is the best.
Yeah, no doubt. I forgot to mention, I was going to make mention, of course, that around 2003, I guess it was, you know, of course, Lemmy makes his one-off appearance with Probot, and my boy Wino's playing guitar on that, and then the video, Shake Your Blood.
The Dave Grohl song, or project?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've seen the video, I know.
Let's also not forget that he had a cameo in the movie Airheads.
True, as God.
So.
Yeah.
Yes, as God. Which was also talked about in the soundtrack episode, if you haven't heard that one.
True. People should refer to that so they don't get caught up in that trick question if they're ever presented it.
You know, if it's life or death, that's what I'm going. That's the answer I'm going with. So the last official Motorhead release was Undercover, the covers album. Oh, also a fun fact that the name Motorhead is a reference to the users of the drug amphetamine. So there's that too.
Good old speed freaks.
Yes. So there was a movie called Eat the Rich. The soundtrack.
Yeah. And Aerosmith even have a song also titled Eat the Rich, I believe.
They do. It's on the... what the hell? It was the last, like, decent album.
No.
After Pump. What the hell was it called?
No.
Get a Grip?
No. The last decent album was Done with Mirror. Permanent Vacation, where it all turned to shit.
It's halfway. Okay. This will be for another time. There is half of the Get a Grip album that I can actually tolerate and actually like. So take that.
I'll take your word for it. I have to take your word for it because I'm trying to get it out of my memory and don't remember it. Don't want to.
We'll revisit it for you and we'll have to listen to it and then talk about it. So
no,
you have to listen.
I'm going
to
be gone that weekend or whenever.
I'm going to spring it on you. Just like when we talk about our favorite Motley Crue Greatest Hits album.
Oh, shit.
All right, Patrick. I think we just kind of brushed over the history of Motorhead there.
Yeah.
If anyone else is interested, so he was also in Hawkwind. He did a band called The Head Cat, which was a blues album, live album.
Yeah.
He was associated with Girl School. He did the Head Girl Project. And Pink Fairies was a band that Phil Taylor and... what's the other guy's name? Why am I so bad at remembering shit here?
I know, I am too.
And Larry Walls, we're in.
Of course, you know, with the head cat, you know, who is with him in that, of course, is Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats and Danny B. Harvey. And you know who Lemmy's replacement in the head cat is?
David Vincent.
I know. Isn't that weird, man? That's wild.
Yeah. So the head cat album, when me and my wife went out to Colorado like 4 years ago, we went to Denver and we found this record store called Twist and Shout. And she didn't know that Lemmy had any other bands besides Motorhead. And we bought the Head Cat CD and we played it every fucking day in our rented Jeep. And when we got home, we lost the fucking CD. It's out there somewhere. I have no idea where it is.
Somewhere out in America.
So we lost the Head Cat quite a bit that week.
What did she think of it, man?
I have no idea where that CD's at.
What did she think of it?
She loved it. She still does.
Hell yeah.
Oh, she loved Motorhead. Like, when I took her to see her in when I took her to Cherokee for the first time, she never even heard of it. And she said that Lemmy, if she was going to cheat on me, Lemmy was her cheat partner. I was like, the motherfucker's 60-something years old. She didn't care.
He's probably virile.
Like, all right.
He's probably virile for 60.
Yeah, he'd be good with it. Yeah. He'd be good with it.
Hell yeah. I'd be good with it. I'd be good with it.
Yeah, she's a Lemmy fan. She
I'll tell you,
Patrick approves of you cheating on me with Lemmy.
I'd let my wife take off a limb for a night. I'd say, hell yeah, just get pictures or something, you know. Bring back a semen sample or something.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I gotta do. Yeah. Just make sure you get that child support information in case if you need it.
Oh shit.
But I got no problem watching Lemmy's kid. I'm good with that. Yeah. If one day he could be in our band, give us some real cred.
Hell yeah. I'd be asking, say, Lemmy, can I film it? Can I just watch and film it?
There's probably Lemmy taped out there somewhere. I'm almost positive.
Oh,
of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So. The guy just didn't give a shit, you know?
Quick hypothetical. If there's a porno out there of Lemmy somewhere, what would be the best title you could imagine for it?
He's Rich, obviously.
Orgasmatron!
Yeah. Orgasmatron would be a good one, too. But I think Eat the Rich would be better because he can actually show what the bacon torpedo is all about.
Hell yeah. No doubt. Oh, man.
I love me like Reptile would be pretty good, too, though.
Yeah, actually, that is pretty good. Especially if he's packing a python.
You know, if he squeezes lizard, he'll throw a snake on you. Just don't ever forget that.
No, he let us know that pretty...
Another classic line.
True. Yeah.
You know, before we go, like, I know, like, Lemmy's known for his, like, his gruff voice and everything, but, man, I tell you, dude, that guy knew about melody a lot. Like, all his stuff is really melodic. Even though, like, a lot of it's, like, punk rock-based. It's kind of like an anomaly that nobody ever talks about, but, man, the songs are so catchy because... He knows about melody, and that's what people gravitate to, you know. So
yeah, I can see that.
That should be said that he knew his shit about music.
No doubt.
Even though it was like compared to like AC/DC, as far as like it all sounds the same, but you know he was a very musical individual.
Yeah, good song.
He knew his shit. I mean, yeah, his favorite singer was Little Richard, you know. He always said how much he admired him for being a black gay guy in Georgia, you know, back in the 50s.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it had to be a hard life.
Dude, that's like punk as fuck, man, right there, you know, when you think about it.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too technical, but being a gay black man in Georgia is probably still a hard life.
Yeah.
We'll just
exactly.
We'll just put that out there, too.
That's right, man. No deal.
You go below Atlanta, dude. It's pretty fucking rural down there, man.
Yep.
In between Atlanta and maybe Macon.
Macon.
Between Atlanta and Macon, Georgia, dude, it's pretty fucking rural down there.
No doubt, man. I lived in Georgia for a period as a kid.
Yeah, how was that?
I was really young, but a lot of damn crazy tragedies befell me while I was living in Georgia. Everything from knocking my teeth out from a fall and stepping on a board full of nails one time, and Dad was cutting grass, and I was walking behind him, and he ran over like whatever it is that burrows in the ground, wasp or yellow jackets or something. Man, I just had a lot of shit happen to me down there in Georgia. Yeah.
It's probably a good thing you're in Kentucky now, then.
No doubt. Yeah, really. I survived.
Yeah. Oh, and also, before I go, let's not forget that Lemmy was Jimi Hendrix's guitar roadie when he toured in Europe. So,
yeah.
We'll just leave it at that right now. All right, man. So, Lemmy and essentially Motorhead died on December 28th of 2015. Like most people remember where they were when Elvis died. Do you remember what you were doing when Lemmy died?
Not to sound callous or unconcerned, I don't really remember like a specific thing I was doing, you know, and heard. I just, knowing me and at that time, was probably, you know, doing something as far as spreading some kind of music news or penning an album review or something, of course, despite the tragic, you know, tragic event that it is.
Yeah, I remember pretty vividly what I was doing. Me and my wife just went to go see Hateful Eight in movie theaters. And we were actually driving back, and I just got on my phone because it's easy to distract yourself from our driving when you're just looking at your phone. And I've ever seen a headline. I was like, oh no. And she turned over to me and she's like, Lemmy died. I was like, yeah, but more weirdly, how the fuck did you know that? Like, you must have had a real strong obsession with the man. So we always joke about that, but yeah. So that's what I was doing.
Did you say, and we're going to die. And you saying we're going to die from your driving.
Well, I'm still here. So far, still driving.
But you know, that's, I think what it is, I was sort of, it, we all saw it coming, you know. There'd been months of, you know, constant reports about his bad health and failing health, and you know, a lot of the footage coming out of live performances, you could just see that, you know, Lemmy was not doing well, you know.
Yeah, like I said before, it was pretty evident in the last time I saw him in Charlotte at the Fillmore. It was pretty rough. So, but like I said, everyone stayed put because, you know, if Lemmy's trying, the least you could do is just try to stay for him. So that's the way I saw it anyway.
But yeah.
Let's talk about the 40th anniversary of Ace of Spades real quick. Any deeper thoughts into that album?
Let's do
than
that.
What we said already?
I wonder, I've not read up on what all they're doing, or is there special content, or are they remastering, or do you know what all planned?
I'm sure there's something in the works. Hold on a minute. Ace of Spades, reissue. I'm sure the vinyl, three vinyl sets going to be on there, and you know, all that predictable stuff here. Let's see, Ace of Spades to get 40th Anniversary Editions. This is from Consequence of Sound. Not really sure how reputable they are. Gotta be more reputable than Metal Sucks and all those stupid sites.
Pretty good. I hate them.
Yeah, they suck. Bunch of tabloid sites. You thought Blabbermouth was bad.
Well, I'm looking. Yeah. Yeah, really, man. Blabbermouth doesn't compare. I'm looking at what looks to be like a pretty nice box set, a deluxe edition of it that's coming.
Yep, it'll be October 30th on CD and vinyl. Obviously, features a classic Motorhead lineup. No shit. 2 CD, 3 LP, vinyl reissue. Will contain original album, previously unreleased recording of a December 23rd, 1981 concert at Whitla Hall in Belfast, Ireland, and a 20-page book.
Wow.
The deluxe box set includes... hold on, man. I had a video pop up on my... Really? Okay.
Turn that porn off, man.
Where was I? Okay. The deluxe box set will have all that, plus an additional 1981 concert from Orleans, France. Not New Orleans, Louisiana, but Orleans, France. 40-page book, EP of previously released unreleased instrumentals, a double album of B-sides, a DVD containing rare TV appearances from 1980 through 81, live concert from 1981, and a 5.1 audio mix of the original album, and a replica program from their Ace Up Your Sleeve tour, a comic book, poker dice. You gotta have the poker dice in the Ace of Spades box, I'm sorry. That's genius. And for a limited time, a bonus 7-inch reproduction of the Dutch Ace of Spades single. And if that's not enough for you, there's a super deluxe box set. Comes encased in a bespoke wooden Wild West dynamite box with shot glasses, a poker mat, playing cards, and casino chips. So
that's what I was looking at.
It's a pretty wild deluxe box sets there, but that dynamite one is pretty awesome sounding.
Yeah. Well, you know, that sort of takes me to something I was going to ask you. You know, you and I constantly, if I see something Motorhead related, you know, a product or an item, you know, I'll send you the link, or if you see something, you do me. And, you know, you and I touched upon in a private conversation the other day about our feelings about if Lemmy would approve of all this branding of Motorhead items. What do you think on that?
I don't think he would. I mean, I know. Let me look up something semi-controversial here real quick.
And, you know, I'll just mention, you know, that this week alone we've seen Lemmy masks. There's a new alcohol of some sort, you know, Motorhead alcohol, and there was actually a third item just in the last week. Yeah. So, and all of it carries the Motorhead official tag, you know.
Yeah, so what I was referring to was the Motorhead dildos that they had come out not too long after his death. And I was just wondering, I was like, I don't really think that would be approved by Lemmy. I don't know who's running the band now, like the band's affairs now. I would assume his sons. I don't really think Phil and Mickey D had much in the way of the overall Motorhead brand, more probably in the songwriting, I would assume. You know? Yeah. So they're probably behind like all the box stuff. Maybe, but I don't think, like, as far as like the Motorhead license, I would say his son or sons probably run that, and they're probably, it looks like they're trying to milk it into the, as much as they can get out of it, based on some of the stuff I see coming out over the past few years.
Of course, you are referring to the Orgasmatron, right?
Well, here's an article. This is from Loudwire. Motorhead adds 3 new items to signature sex toy line. I remember the glass dildo one. I got a chuckle out of it, but of course I didn't have any need for it, so I didn't buy it. let's see.
Yeah, I was joking. I don't know if there is one even called the Orgasmatron, but there should be.
Well, hold on now. I got a picture of it. I think one here in the middle might be. There's a glass one with the warthog, one with the warthog like bobblehead on top, and then a black one with the warthog in gold.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember those when they first announced those.
But anyway, it's not just that, though. It's.
Go ahead, babe.
It's not just that, though. Like I said, it's the mask. It's the mask. It's the all the other stuff that you mentioned.
Yeah.
The product placement and TV commercials.
Exactly, man. Yeah. There was 3 items just in a week, you know, this past week.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know if he would have. I don't know if he would approve of any of it. I don't really think he was a merch guy. I think he's more just a music guy. So, but it's hard to say. You know, I'm not there in the meetings. I wasn't there. I wasn't there behind closed doors. Lemmy talking about his legacy beyond the band, his days alive. So, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but I'm probably gonna just say from what I've read and what I've heard him say that probably he didn't. He probably wouldn't have approved most of it. Actually, I remember there was a box set that a label he used to be on was coming out, and I remember him coming out and saying don't buy the box set because I don't approve anything in it except for the music.
I remember that.
They said it was a cash grab.
I remember that.
So that kind of tells me that he took his legacy a little more serious than product than putting his logo on stupid products. You know, I don't really think. I think he was like the anti-Kiss. I think he wanted it on everything. Yeah. You know, imaginable.
As if, you know, it's already in plenty of places and, you know, in the annals of rock history. That's good enough for Lemmy, I would imagine.
Yeah, not to mention, like, almost everything, like, rips off the Motorhead logo now anyway with, you know, the curved logo with two dots over the O and, you know, some kind of skull, you know, placed underneath it.
Just the simple fact, I mean.
All right, Patrick, any parting words before we go about Lemmy or Motorhead?
Obviously, you know, a very legendary band. You know, there was one that to devote a whole episode of the L House to, and knowing how you appreciate them especially, then yeah, Motorhead was a good call, my man.
Yeah, we should do more bands like discographies when they are no more. And also, I'm going to go ahead and correct you on air. It's actually the Ale Horn.
Oh. What the hell?
Ale House. Hey,
Hell, I've been hitting the Ale too much, apparently.
It's all right. Yeah, it's fine. I always wanted to get you on that moment. So, there you go.
Yeah.
I got
there
you.
You go. Yeah, you got me.
Okay. But anyway. Well, Patrick, thanks for talking to me about Motorhead. One of these days, if Overkill ever hangs it up, we'll do one on
them. Hush your mouth.
They seem to never stop, so it might be a while.
Yes, exactly. Hush your mouth.
Might be a while on them, so. All right, man. Well, I will think of another topic for another day, and we'll reconvene in a couple weeks and talk some more music.
Sounds
if you're
good.
Up for it.
All right.
Okay, man. Stay COVID free up there in Kentucky. And
all right,
stay safe.
You as well. One of these days I'm gonna learn not to be so damn interruptive, by God. This shit messes me up. So.
It's okay. I can mute you on the edit. No big deal.
Well, good. There's always that. All right, man. Holler at me.
Thank you for listening to the Ale Horn Podcast. For more of this podcast and other podcasts in the Ale Horn Podcast Network, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/thealehorn. Subscriptions start at $1, and each tier gets you greater perks, such as exclusive Patreon-only podcasts, free song downloads, merch discounts, and more. Until next time, stay headlined.